Hello, and welcome to Small Talk, a podcast from Contemporary Pediatrics. I'm Miranda Hester, and in this episode, I am speaking with Dr. Andrew Schumann, a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the Geisel School of Medicine at Dartmouth, and also a practicing pediatrician, about COVID-19 vaccines in the pediatric population and the lessons learned from the pandemic.
When having the first in-person visit with a patient that hasn't been seen in the office since before the start of the pandemic, what are the most important things to do at that initial visit?
So it's very interesting, Miranda, because I've encountered patients who have been secluded in their house. They haven't ventured forth. Their kids have been educating, attending school remotely. So it's quite an event for them, whereas I'm very comfortable now having been vaccinated and been back at work for some time. So I think it's the job of a pediatrician to be as reassuring as possible and very upbeat and encouraging. Unfortunately, given the circumstances of the pandemic, you can't give a real hug, but a virtual one. So, you know, it's important to catch up. It's likely that they may have missed vaccines, they may have delayed important physicals and so forth. So it's just an opportunity to make them feel better about accessing healthcare and becoming general about the circumstance. In general, here we are over a year since the start of the pandemic, and we still have upticks in the incidence of COVID infections. But overall, kids are getting back to school. The weather in the northern part of the country is getting nicer. People are getting vaccinated. So it's easy to be upbeat. And I think patients appreciate that. So I think that's one of the most important things we can do to help our patients.
Okay, so how can pediatricians help effectively get out the CDC's message that we still need to follow the current mitigation strategies to slow the spread of COVID-19?
Much of what a pediatrician does in an encounter is educational. So patients come into the office, they wear masks. We have the opportunity to remind them to keep it covering their nose. We have an opportunity to talk about germs with the patients in an age-appropriate fashion. And it's any time we have an opportunity to talk with patients, it's an opportunity to correct misconceptions while being positive and encouraging. So I think in many regards, we answer all questions because people ask about when will kids be able to be vaccinated, when can they venture forth. There's a lot of questions people have because they don't understand what has become a very complicated subject, particularly when it comes to quarantining and safety of family members and friends. So I think we need to be good listeners among anything else. And again, keep that reassurance going.
Okay, so with the likely expansion of the Pfizer vaccine to include pediatric patients of 12 to 15 years old, likely coming in the next several weeks, what can pediatric practitioners do to help create a smoother vaccine rollout in this population?
Unfortunately, at least so far, pediatricians and medical providers have only played a small part in vaccine administration rollout. Our role has been largely supportive, with the government playing the major role in distribution of vaccines. In my clinic, only recently, we were told eventually we'd be able to give vaccines out ourselves. And in my community, I've seen that rather than at mass immunization centers, it's now being rolled out to pharmacies and small clinics, and it's being made available to the general public, which is very, very assuring. there's always going to be some vaccine hesitancy, and you can't blame parents for this. This has been rushed to the market. People are more concerned about their children's safety regarding vaccines, and that's appropriate. So I think we have to listen to advice from the CDC and perhaps more importantly from the American Academy of Pediatrics regarding the safety of the Pfizer vaccine. And do we limit it to high-risk kids? Do we give it to everybody? I'm going to have my eyes and ears open regarding these recommendations, regarding how what role we should play in the distribution and recommendation of this new vaccine for kids 12 and above.
Okay, so are there elements of our strategy to contain COVID-19 that you hope become a more permanent element of our general infection control?
We've learned a lot, and our society has changed in the last year. You and I have spoken offline about several things, and one thing that's extremely sobering to pediatricians in particular is the fact that if we wash our hands, if we distance and wear masks, then the illnesses we see routinely are markedly reduced. Now, that's a double-edged sword. So while we intuitively would like to see less illness in the community, in some aspects, pediatricians are drastically less busy. So we need to think about if and how we need to modify pediatric practice to keep ourselves solvent if we continue to use PPE and social distancing as we're likely to do in the future. We may need to adapt and modify our practices. Many of my colleagues already have modified their practices to address mental health needs, ADHD, other illnesses. Perhaps we need to acquire other skills as well to stay in the game. So, an interesting future for pediatrician awaits all.
Okay, so what can pediatricians do to prepare to help children and teenagers with the long-ranging effects of the mental health toll of the pandemic?
There was an article I authored several months ago, and it was called in part the Children Lessons Learned, I think I called it, Children of the Pandemic. And it's really a acknowledgement that as people, as human who and parents who care about their children, there will be long-acting effects of the pandemic on families, on pediatric practices, especially on children. So I think we just need to be realistic and aware that children have suffered as we all have in that they're only now returning to school full time. I've seen an incredible uptick in the amount of depression and anxiety and family discord. And that's going to have a long-lasting effect. There's going to be post-pandemic stress disorders that we'll need to deal with. And as we've discussed in the past, I think we need to realize that our healthcare system is flawed, and we need to take this pandemic as a message and an opportunity to reinvent ourselves. And that means by determining what role government should play in healthcare. Is there any way we can wrest control away from the insurance companies without ruining the system, but rather improving it? So I think it gives us cause to rethink what we're doing and cause for us to perhaps create a improved and a much better healthcare system.
Thanks for listening to Small Talk. If you like us, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.